I'm going to speak to you today on this subject, the bold challenge of God's elect. And our text will be taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. Now, over in the Old Testament, one of the prophets said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Do we dare allow God to speak to us, to let God speak for himself? And more than that, do we dare to hear what God has said? Now, the passage of Scripture that I'll be using as my text today has been the subject of controversy for many, many years. But I want you to listen carefully. Will you take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 33 and 34? Will you listen to this message? Do you dare let God speak to you? God reveal himself as he reveals himself in his word. The scripture says in Romans 8, 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Now, my friends, the holy law of God stands ready to condemn every son of Adam. For what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. The holy law of God has a charge against you and against me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the holy law of God stands ready to condemn you and to condemn me. And the sword of God's justice waits to fall, because the scripture says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." The scripture says God will in no wise clear the guilty. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The sword of God's justice is poised and ready to fall upon the human race. The righteousness of God must reject every son of Adam. For the righteousness of God declares that we have sinned. And Almighty God cannot have fellowship and communion with those who sin. Who shall stand in his presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. So the law of God charges us, the sword of God's justice waits to execute us, and the righteousness of God rejects every son of Adam. But out of the darkness of human depravity, and out of the rubble of Adam's awful fall, and out of the rags of human righteousness, I hear a brave, strong voice call, "Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth?" From the scales weighed and wanting, from the bitterness of sinful gall, from the prison house of the broken law, I hear a brave, strong voice call, "Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth?" Found guilty through Adam's treason, their backs pressed against the wall, condemned to death universally. But I hear a brave, strong voice call, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And the voice cries, "Wait, holy law, hold back thy charges. They're right, they're just. Man deserves every charge brought against him by the holy, immaculate, unchangeable law of the living God. But wait, law of God. Hold back your charges. Let's hear what he has to say. Wait, justice of God. Thy sword is poised to fall. And man deserves thy condemnation. And man deserves to be separated eternally from a holy God. But wait. Wait. Hold back thine avenging sword. Wait, righteousness of God. Thy claim shall surely be met. The judge of the earth shall do right. The holy God of heaven will not clear the guilty, but the holy Lord of heaven will not condemn the innocent. The guilty shall surely die, but the just shall live. Let's hear what this voice pleads. What is it you say? And the voice again says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who are God's elect? You take your Bible there and let's answer that question. First of all, in Romans 8, just a few verses up from where we've been reading, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. But the natural mind is enmity toward God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is condemnation. That light, Christ said, I'm the light of the world. Light is come into this world. But men do not love light. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. The scripture says that Christ is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Our Lord said to his disciples, my brethren, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. Men hate the living God. They hate the God of the Bible. That's true. But some, by the grace of God, do love God. Does not God's own word say, we love him. We love him because he first loved us. And did not God say to Abraham, I know that you love me? And our Lord Jesus Christ met with his disciples down by the seashore. He built a fire, prepared them something to eat. Then as they were sitting around eating, he looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Who are God's elect? They're those who love God. By the grace of God, there are some who do love God. By the grace of God, there's some who do, and they can say in their hearts, Lord, you know all things. I don't love you as much as I want to, and I don't love you as much as I should, and I don't love you as much as I expect to, but Lord, you know I love you. All right, go on. Who are God's elect? Verse 28 again. To those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, my friends, it's the purpose of Satan to ruin. He said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. That's his purpose. His purpose is to ruin. If he cannot reign, Satan's purpose is to ruin, either through deception or any amount of subtlety or craftiness. He is set to ruin. And man's purpose is to rebel. Man says, we will not have this person to reign over us. But it's the purpose of God to redeem. God Almighty's purpose is to redeem. There are a people who are the called according to his purpose. You know, when they asked David, where is your God? David said, our God's in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, and the seas, and all deep places. What hath it pleased God to do? And Moses wrote, it pleased God to make you his people. Yes, it's pleased God to redeem. God will have a people. He will have a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven. Heaven will be populated. For God said, I will be merciful. Moses says, show me your glory. God said, this is my glory. My glory is my goodness. And I declare the name of the Lord. I will be merciful. I will be gracious. So God's people, God's elect, are those who love him and those who are called according to his redemptive purposes. God is going to save some people. He's going to have a people. He said, Abraham, your seed is going to be like the stars of the heaven. Your seed is going to be like the sands of the seashore, an innumerable company, a company which no man can number. Well, go on. Who are God's elect? Thirdly, verse 29. They are those whom he foreknew. Now, I quote from God's own words in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He said, Jeremiah, hear the word of the Lord. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of thy mother's womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. I knew you. Before you were born, I knew you. Before this earth was created, I knew thee. Our Lord has a people. He says, listen to Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Paul, describing his own conversion, said, God, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to call me by his grace. It pleased him to reveal his son in me. And Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, brethren, I thank God for you, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Yes, God's elect are those who love him by his grace. He loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. They're those who are the called according to his redemptive purposes. And they're those whom he foreknew. They're those whom he gave to the Son. Read John chapter 6, verse 37. Our Lord Jesus said, all that my Father giveth me, all of them shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. His elect, who are they? They're those whom he hath given to the Son, those whom he foreordained, those whom he foreknew, those who in eternity past, in his covenant mercies, he determined to save. All right, read verse 29. Who are God's elect? Those whom he did predestinate. He predestinated all whom he foreordained. Predestinated what? He predestinated them to be like Christ. He predestinated them to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. This is the goal of redemption. That all whom God saves, that all who populate heaven, that all who live with him in glory, that all who are joint heirs with Jesus Christ will be just like the Lord himself. John wrote about it. He said, behold, now are we the sons of God. Right now, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, to become sons of God. And brethren, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. You can't picture what we're going to be like. We know whom we're going to be like, but he said, we don't know what we're going to be like, but this we do know, when he shall appear, we're going to see him and be just exactly like him. And David, this was his goal. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David had a lot of things to satisfy him. If the things of this world could satisfy, he had wealth, he had fame, he had education, he had position, he had possessions, he had friends, he had a kingdom. But he said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. And God's elect are those whom God predetermined to make like his Son. Those whom he foreknew, he predestinated the means, he predestinated the way that they should be just like his Son. All right, go on. Who are God's elect? Those whom he called. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Whom he predestinated, he called. Now, they won't call on him till he calls on them. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, no man can or will come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And they shall all be taught of God, and everyone that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. No, they won't call on him till he calls on them. And they won't seek him till he seeks them. And they won't love him unless he loves them. He will cross their path, and he'll make them willing to embrace him and to love him and to believe on him and to come to him. That's what he says in Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And our Lord said in John 10, when they asked him this, they said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. You didn't believe me. The works that I do, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. My sheep will hear my voice. The two marks of God's sheep. One is the mark on the ear, the other is the mark on the foot. They hear his voice, and they follow him. He calls them. Who are God's elect? Those whom he foreknew, and those whom he predestinated to be like Christ, and those whom he called. And he'll call them. Oh, he'll find them in idolatry. That's where he found Abraham. He'll find them in harlotry. That's where he found Mary. He'll find them in religion. That's where he found Saul. He'll find them even 1 yard from hell. That's where he found the thief on the cross. But he'll find them. He said to Paul, he said, now you stay in that town and preach. I've got much people in that town. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to lay his hand on you. You don't have to leave. You don't have to be afraid. I've got much people in that city. And he'll find them, and they'll hear his voice, because he'll call them. My sheep hear my voice. Well, go on. Who are God's elect? Look at verse 30. Romans 8:30. Those whom he justified. Those whom he justified, you say? Do you know what justification means? To be justified means not guilty. To be justified not only means pardon or even parole, but to be justified means not guilty. That means righteous. That means holy. That means without sin. So that's the reason Job asked this question. How can man be just with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Why, behold the moon, and it shineth not. Even the stars are not clean in God's sight. How much more filthy and abominable is a man that drinks iniquity like the water? How can man be just with God? Justified, you say? Oh, I understand what you're saying. The elect of God are those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose and those whom he foreknew and those whom he predestinated, maybe even those whom he called. But justified? Man justified? Man innocent? Man not guilty? Man holy and without sin? How can that be? Love found a way. Love found a way to redeem my soul. Love found a way to make me whole. Love sent my Lord to the cross of shame. Love found a way. Oh, praise his holy name. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. Yes, that's what the angel declared. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law. Yes, the Savior took our flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was numbered with the transgressors. The just died for the unjust. The sinless became sinful that the sinful might be sinless. And we have a righteousness that was one that was worked out by Christ our Lord in his perfect obedience to the holy law of God. Yes, God's elect are those who are justified. All right, next. Who are God's elect? They're those whom he glorified. Those who love God by the grace of God. Those who are called according to his divine purpose to redeem. God purposed from all eternity to have a people. And he foreordained them, and he predetermined that every one of them would be like Christ. And in time he sent his Holy Spirit to call them. And the Spirit of God not only called them, but through the blood of Christ justified them, and he said even glorified them. My friends, in Christ, God's elect are cleansed. In the Holy Spirit, God's elect are sanctified. And now at the right hand of God, they are glorified. At the right hand of God, there's a man, the God-man, who is seated. He is accepted. He is honored. He is exalted. He is the second Adam. And he has restored unto us all that we lost in the first Adam. He restoreth my soul. And in Christ, in the sight of God, every believer is holy and clean and pure and without blame, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, blessed with all spiritual blessings. All right, it's clear that God has an elect. That's what the Word of God says. It is clear that God has a people. He has a people who love Him. He has a people whom He hath called according to His purpose. He has a people whom He hath foreknown from all eternity. He said to those at the judgment, I never knew you. I never knew you. But He said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He said, I never knew you. But He said of His sheep, I know them. I know them. And He not only knows them, but He's predetermined that they'll be like Christ. And He's called them and justified them and glorified them. But wait a minute. What's the challenge of God's elect? What do they have to plead? What do they have to claim? Listen to Paul. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He faces that holy, immaculate law. And he says, who can lay anything to our charge? He faces that avenging sword of God's justice and challenges justice and says, who can lay anything to our charge? He faces the immaculate, immutable holiness, the righteousness of God, and he says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And you know what the plea is? It's a fourfold plea. Look at it, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for me, if God be for me in elective grace, if God marked me out as His own, if God set me apart as an object of His affection, if God is for me in substitution, if He so loved me that He gave His Son to die for my sin, if God is for me in redemption, who can be against me? Can the angels be against me? Why, the Hebrews says they're ministering spirits sent by God to minister to the heirs of salvation. They can't be against me. They are our servants. Well, what about Satan? He's against everybody. Well, his power is broken. Why, the prince of this world, Christ said, is judged and he's cast out. He doesn't have any power. Well, shall the world be against me? Christ said, I've overcome the world. Well, shall my own flesh be against me? Listen to Paul, oh wretched man that I am. It's true. I deny it not. But thanks be to God, I have the victory. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin? I have the victory. This body of death, I have the victory. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first bold challenge of God's elect. Who can lay anything to my charge if God's for me? If God's on my side, who can be against me? If God chose me, who can be against me? If God justified me, who can be against me? If God says I'm not guilty, dare anybody say that I am? Here's the second bold challenge. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, God's own children? We don't stand in our righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of Christ. We don't plead our own works. We plead His. We don't offer our sacrifices. We offer His sacrifice. I like what that great old black preacher, John Jasper, said. John Jasper used to pastor a big church in Richmond, Virginia, back 100 years ago. People came from everywhere to hear that old man preach. And one day a man walked up to him and said, John Jasper, you think you're going to heaven? He said, yes, sir, I believe that I am. He said, well, John Jasper, when you get to heaven and you stand there at the gate of that great city and you ask to be admitted and someone looks at you and says, John Jasper, what right have you got to be here? What are you going to say? Well, he said, I tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, old John Jasper hadn't got any right to be here at all. No right at all. But I'm not here on my righteousness. I'm here on the righteousness of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we can challenge. That's the reason we can say, who can lay anything to my charge? I'm not pleading my righteousness. I'm pleading His. I'm not pleading my works. I'm pleading His. I'm not pleading my obedience. I'm pleading here. I'm not presenting my sacrifice. I'm claiming here. Christ died for my sins. If I go to hell, I'll go to hell trusting Christ. Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'm not trusting myself. We'll surely fall when we begin to trust the flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh, yours or anybody else's. Put your confidence in Christ. All right, here's the third bold challenge. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? This is the reason no one can condemn me. fourfold. First of all, he said, who can condemn me? Christ died for me. Yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Now listen, who also maketh intercession for us. Watch how the apostle climbs these golden steps. Who can condemn me? I challenge heaven, earth, and hell. I'm one of God's elect. Who can condemn me? Christ died for me. More than that, he arose for my justification. More than that, he is seated, accepted on the right hand of God. More than that, he calls my name. He prays for me. He makes intercession for me. Now, who's going to deny him what he bought? Read that verse up there, verse 32, that says, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who can deny Christ what he prays for? Here's the fourth challenge. Who can separate us from the love of God? Who can separate us? He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man can separate my people from my love. What's the conclusion? Law of God, I find no fault. Righteousness of God, he's holy. Justice of God, my wrath is exhausted. My judgment is satisfied. My penalty is fully paid. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Not what we've done, what he's done. This message is available on cassette tape recording. If you'd like to have it, write us at the address it'll be given to you in just a moment.